I just was at my office at 8 o'clock in the morning, stayed there till 10:30, and or sometimes longer than that. But I think about my children, and I think about my family life, and I think about the Lord instituted the home before we did the church. And people, I don't believe you ought to forsake God. Amen. Don't do that. But I do agree that Jesus withdrew himself into a desert place. Is my tie crooked? Am I on, brother? Good. Okay, open your Bible, please. The book of Philippians. Philippians in chapter 3 for tonight, please. In Philippians in chapter 3, find your place in verse 10. Okay, Philippians 3, verse 10. Let me get me a drink of water. I preached hard all last week, and my voice is about to go. In Philippians in chapter 3, how many of you, before I read this, how many of you at some time or another have been out in your car, got in your car, and it to do this? How many of you? And boy, you keep thinking that it's going to say, woom, 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 start. But you just keep holding the key down, and it'll say, Finally, it'll just give out. Now, keep that thought in your mind and look in verse 10. Oh, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though that I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that if I may apprehend that for which also that I apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren. Now the word there, brethren, means out of the same womb. So we know he's talking to the saved people. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, keep your Bible open there. We're going to use that verse. Now, keep your finger there. Flip back just as hard as you can to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 26. Today, I went to my study, and I thought, if the Lord lets me get back to Jordan tonight, and begin to just impress this on my heart. Paul was a saved man. He got saved on the Damascus Road. And he met the Lord Jesus. Now, he's a proud, egotistical Jew. It was recorded when he was circumcised the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Listen, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Now, all of these, yet here's what Paul said. Look, if you would, in verse Acts 26, and look in verses 8, and I'm going to try to read it slowly. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Verily, I thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now remember, he's talking to Agrippa, and he's talking about before he got saved. He said, I thought it was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Now watch, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Watch this. I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelling them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now this is Paul, and he's giving his testimony to Agrippa. And he's telling Agrippa what he did before he got saved. Now go back to Philippians chapter 3. Now, if you look at Philippians in chapter 3, Paul said, well, that I might know him. All right? Paul wrote this, if you go back and look in your Bible. He got saved in Acts chapter 9. Now, I want you to, don't turn there, but I'm going to read this to you just for a moment. In chapter 9, we find Saul of Tarsus became Paul. And the word Paul, now watch this. Was he guilty of killing the Christians? Personally, I believe he was guilty of killing the Christians. If you notice in Acts 26, he said, I punished them oft, and I was exceedingly mad. He thought he was doing that right. He was trying to put down Christianity because he was an Orthodox Jew. How many of you have ever seen an Orthodox Jew? They wear the black hat, black eye, and then their sideburns are curled. How many of y'all do that? How many of y'all know who I'm talking about? All right, them are what you call Orthodox Jew. In that umbrella, like this, you find there's a liberal Jew, then you find a very, well, just a Jew, and then there's that Orthodox Jew. All right, in the Orthodox Jew, Mary and I have been to Israel several times. Let me tell you what they do. They block the streets and they put up barricades. You're not allowed to do anything on what they call the Sabbath. I mean absolutely nothing. I'm talking about these Jews that's got the curls. They got all these laws that they go by, not just the 10, not the 10 commandments, but I mean they got 111 rigid things that they live by. Women are to dress a certain way. There's to never be out in the forefront. They almost think a woman is a fourth or fifth class citizen. There's all kinds of things that they do. You ain't even allowed to pick up a piece of wood on the Sabbath. They think they're doing right. Well, Paul thought he was doing right, or Saul, he thought he was doing right before he got saved. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Watch this. He says, "Oh, that I might know him." All right, if I know my Bible right, in A.D. 34, that's when Paul got saved, A.D. 34. Now then, 30 years have went by, and if you go back up in Philippians in chapter 3, now 30 years have passed by, and Paul says, "Oh, that I might know him." Y'all look like y'all taking Ritalin again. He says, "Oh, that I might know him." When you get saved, God, he buries your past. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have no past. A baby don't have a past. It only has a beginning. The thing I want you to see, he had a hunger. He says that I might know him. If a person is genuinely saved, they have a spiritual hunger they never had before. 1 Peter 2 and 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. All right, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them men, 120 of them, to go to the upper room, or the apostles. Says, "You go, wait till you be endued with power from on high." All right, Acts 1, they receive the power. All right, now in Philippians in chapter 3, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The death, the burial, the resurrection is essential. Amen. Now let's go back. I want you to write this on fly leaf your Bible. Notice now that I might know him. I don't know how y'all feel. I don't have a clue how you feel. Sometimes, as a saved person, I know I'm going to heaven. I know my name's wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life, but I spiritually get on the bottom rung of the ladder. And my spiritual batter says, But you let me get in a good revival meeting, or you let me get somewhere where God is, I come alive. Do y'all understand that? I come alive. Well, but notice this now, sometime or another, as saved people, this happens to us. Have y'all ever had somebody to give you a jump? Just they'll say, "Could you come in? My battery's dead." Boy, you thank God. Y'all got any jumper cables? And so they'll drag out some jumper cables, and sometimes they're way too long, or they don't have a good ground, and they'll say, And you tell him, "Start the thing up." Well, he'll start it up, and then it'll say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," and it'll fire up. Boy, you're so relieved. What I'd like to do tonight is somehow or another to convey this to you, how on this thing about this energy that we have, a spiritual energy. My brother lives out at Nancy. He's my only brother. He called me. He said, "Mel, they drove all the way to Edmonton." Am I saying that correctly? Edmonton, Kentucky. You go down the parkway. It's about, I'd say a good hour's drive. He said, "Mel," I said, "Where you at, Bob?" He said, "We're going to go down there and eat." I said, where are you going?" He said, "Edmonton, Kentucky." Said, "There's supposed to be a real good place to eat." I thought about it. People will drive an hour if they find out there's a good place to eat. I won't either, ma'am. I don't do that. But I'm talking about that. They don't think a thing about that. Driving 1 hour one way, they'll go to Richmond. I hear people all the time talking about going to Richmond, or they're probably going to buy a load of liquor. Now they don't have to, they can buy it here. But I'm saying, in years gone by, people go to Lexington, Richmond to eat. Well, I don't understand this. You have a physical appetite. Why don't people ever have a spiritual appetite? All right, we're all, if you're saved, you've got a spiritual appetite. Well, why don't people love the house of God? Why don't they love the Word of God? Why don't they love the saved people? I don't understand this. We have so cheapened the things of God, and I don't believe every one of them's lost, but I do believe this. I do believe their batteries. Let me show you. Let's go back and look in your Bible. Paul said in verses 13, forgetting those things which are behind. How many of you have ever seen, hey, Kelly, I know you do, brother. Are you a computer man? That's usually the ones that's good at it. Sis, are you computer? I'm computer illiterate. But I know they've got a... But I know they've got a button on them that you can edit stuff out. Am I right, Brother Kelly? Don't you wish your mind, don't you wish you could push an edit button and edit all that stuff out? I'm talking about, I know my past is gone. I know that. I know my name is wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know that Lord's forgiven me. I understand all that. But here's what I'm saying. The things, I sometimes mishandle things. Sometimes I'm not as patient as I ought to be. Amen. And sometimes I overreact, and I wish my mind, I wished I had an edit button to edit all that stuff out. Sometimes the devil will make you feel like a failure. And he'll make you feel like you're nobody loves you, nobody cares, nobody understands, and you'll get depressed and you'll get defeated and you'll just get disillusioned with everybody. But notice back up in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. All right, we know 1 John 1 says, his blood cleanseth us from all sin, amen. We know that, all right, we know that Jesus is our advocate. Have you ever questioned why that Jesus is an advocate? Have I got y'all's attention? We know that he was a sin substitute. That's for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen. He died for whosoever will. But why is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father as an advocate? Because the devil accuses you. If you read the book of Revelations, and by the way, the devil comes and he says he comes with great wrath, for he knows he hath but a short time. So the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the intense the battle is going to become. Right. An advocate, Jesus, is our advocate. He pleads our case. In fact, when he looks over and sees Brother Rick, and when Rick messes up, and he does.
Guaranteed. Amen. I agree with you.
A little faster there. But we all, we all mess up. That don't mean we go out here and murder somebody. It don't mean that we steal or rob. Amen. That don't mean that. And by the way, it says if you say you have no sin, you make him a liar and his word is not in you. But I'm talking about when Rick messes up and when I mess up, God don't see Rick. He sees the blood of his son. And guess what? Jesus said, Father, he's mine. I'll correct him.
That's good.
All right. Now watch it. If Rick comes and he says, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Now that doesn't, we're not talking about sonship, that's already established. We're talking about fellowship.
Right.
When you get unconfessed sin in your life, that breaks fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Now when you confess it, everything gets right, amen. Now go back and look in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, I got to put this in my mind. I thought, dear God, if I can get here tonight. All right, how many of you, your past ever bothers you? Your past. Why do you let the devil do that to you? Oh, this is going to really get quiet tonight. Why do we do that? You have an arch enemy. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil to combat every day of your life. And primarily, the war is on your mind. Amen, Brother Sisson. That's the reason why you young people, listen to me, your youth, you young people, be careful what you let go through the eye gate and go through your ear gate and get into your mind, because I'm telling you, it is not as easy to get out as you think it is.
That's right. That's good.
Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind, all right? That will make you sort of jumpstart your life. Now, let's go back and let me show you. Now, watch this. Forget those things. People, I meet them all the time. I never forget. Well, you'll never meet them. But people hold grudges. Why does people do that? I can hold a grudge at him for what all he said about me. But I'm just saying, I can get bitter at Rick. But bitterness won't hurt him, it'll destroy me. Why do we hold on to things happened 25 years ago? Yes, but you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You don't know what he did. You don't know what they did. Look at me tonight. Look at me. You've heard this all of your life. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie, because words do hurt you. There comes a time you need to forget all the past grudges. Now say amen and we'll move on. There comes a time that we need to get rid of that junk. I told my wife, I don't know, y'all probably not like me. I save everything. I'm almost a hoarder. I don't know why we do that. But you know, sometimes I think about our minds. I think our minds is just about like that. We hoard things up. We don't ever have a house clean and just throw it all away. What I'm saying is, his blood cleanses from all sin. You need to forget all the past grudges, amen. Well, I meet people all the time, and they're forever bringing up the past, and they'll say, Brother Sisson, I got hurt so bad, and then when you get to talking about them, and they rip all the layers off, the grief that they're carrying is something that happened 30 years ago. Hey, forget all that stuff. Bury it, amen. A wound will never get clean till you get the thing clean. Amen, Brother Sisson. Well, my tie must be crooked. Forget all these past stuff that everybody's hanging on to. I thought about this. Now watch it. I thought about how people are so guilt-ridden. And I understand this. I understand about guilt, but guilt will destroy you. When you mess up sometime, now I don't mean everybody said right now you're thinking, well, what in the world did Brother Sisson mess up on? You have too. I'm not talking about robbing somebody or no, I'm not talking getting drunk, playing gambling and all that stuff. That's not what having abortions and all this. I'm not talking about that. Guilt, sin will make you guilt-ridden. And you need to get rid of the guilt. Well, how do you do that? Confess it to Christ. Go on with your life. Hey, start all over again. Think like that jumping, like a good hot battery. Boom, 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 boom. The boy, it'll fire right up. Amen. But see, if you carry all this stuff around, here's what you're going to do. How many people, they don't enjoy the services? They don't enjoy the singing. They don't enjoy the praying. They don't enjoy the preaching. And hurry up and get this thing over with. They come in and they're not happy. They don't ever smile. What is wrong with people? I ain't going through my life like that. Amen, Brother Rick. I'm not going to go. Listen, there ain't nobody in this building, I guess, could say that they could carry guilt more than I could. But I refuse. Somebody asked me, "Has you ever been done wrong? Are you breathing air?"
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I could major on that and major on that and major on that, and I'd never be happy and content inside. All right, we need to get rid of all the guilt. Would y'all say amen? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget all of the past back there and don't carry the thing. Let me show you something else. And then I thought about this. Here's what I hear people say. Boy, Brother Sisson, how many of you in this building were here in Burnside at the storefront? I know Porter was his wife. Who else was? How many years ago has that been? Great day. I can't keep up with it. Okay, I went into evangelism in 81 or 82, something like that. We held a lot of two-week meetings up here in town. I hear people say, man, you ought to have mom and dad's church. Boy, they used to be alive and they shouted and they glorified the Lord and amen and glory to God. Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
If he's the same, it's us that had to be changed. Well, what I'm saying is, but we can pack all this stuff around, carry it around, amen, and carry it around and carry around and get so depressed, forget all of that past back there. Hey, I believe you, so I'll start living in the present. Hey, this might be the day we all go home and be with Christ. Y'all ever think like that? Evidently not. Shoot, man, I get up in the morning, and I get, well, it's almost shameful to say this. My poor old wife, bless her heart, I get up real early.
And I'm lazy.
But I get up real early. Now, in fact, usually when I'm tired, I go to bed and I don't get up as early. But If I'm usually rested, usually 5 o'clock, 5:30, quarter to 6, I'm up. Man, I get me a real good cup of real coffee. Are you listening? The real stuff. Not that instant junk. Oh, you ain't even right. But I mean, I get me a real good cup of coffee, and sometimes I go out on the porch, and I sit there, and it's dark, daylight's coming up, and I watch the sun come. I thought, man, this might be a real moment for Christ to come. Do y'all think like that? Now, I think it's healthy. Hey, we're going to leave. We're going to exit out of here. One of these days, we're going to die. But if we don't die, Jesus is going to come and take us home. Amen. But I get to thinking about it, and I think, I don't want to carry this stuff around. I want to be jubilant. I want to be happy. I want my life to count for something. Amen. Right. I don't want to go through just miserable all the time like some people do. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Just miserable. You know what I have to live with? Oh, I feel sorry. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You just don't know. You don't understand. Yes, I do. Forget all of those things. Let me show you this. Now look in your Bible. Not only in verses. Look in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Drop down. I want you to look at what he says in verse 13. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Brother Sisson, I know that everything seems like it's in a mess. But on the flip side of this coin, we're living in the best time we ever lived in. Evidently, y'all don't think so. I understand the deadness and the paralysis that's come over us. But notice what Paul said, forgetting those things. Did y'all see that? Forgetting those things. But notice what he says. We're to look ahead, foresee the things. Let me prove this to you. Look in verse 13. He says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. All right? The past is gone. Amen. Now then, look back. We're right now in the present. But look what's waiting on us right down the road. Glory. Shoo, I love to think about it. Amen. I mean, that puts a zip wheels in my soul. Do y'all know what spizzarinctum is? Whatever it is, we need about 4 tub loaves to throw in the gable end of our soul. That's when people's got a lot of energy. Now look at the world, and boy, they got a lot of energy. Hey, look at that bunch up there that got out there to get them tickets at UK basketball team. Camping out, running like a madman up there to unfold a tent, and standing out there and their teeth are chattering. They're having such a good time. I don't see nobody lined up to get in here like that. That's right. All they got to do is look forward to an expensive ball game ticket. Right. Amen, sister. But look what's waiting on us. Have y'all ever thought about it? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, in his forgiveness, in your peace of mind, in joy, in happiness. And watch this. There's going to come a reunion. Can you imagine when we all get together with a reunion in heaven? Man, I love to think about it. How about seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How about seeing John the Baptist? And we wonder if he has a ring around the collar. They cut his head off. How about seeing Stephen for the first time? How about seeing mom and dad and grandma and grandpa? How about... It's as real as I'm looking at you. That's going to happen, amen. Shoo, I love it. Think about it. Glory. Now watch. Look in your Bible. I want you to get this down. We're talking about energizing. We're talking about moving up. We're talking about starting. Forget the things which are behind. Foresee the things which are to come. Everybody needs a goal or a purpose or a driving force in their life. Amen. I told Mary today, we was just talking. You know what's wrong with people? They have just become. Come in, sit down, get up, go home. One song, two songs, three songs. Every now and then, I believe God, the Holy Ghost, does things different. And what we need is Him to breathe upon us. What do you mean, preacher? I sort of like what happened today. They said they was having Sunday school over there at Watts Chapel. And they said that what they did was their class, they assembled together. And people are excitable. Will y'all all agree with that? A real revival will excite you. Well, they all got to talking about the revival, and we done went from Wednesday till Friday extra. And they said they wished the revival could go on, and so they just took up almost the whole class talking about the revival. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Why don't we all show me in a chapter and verse? I believe everything ought to be orderly. I believe that. But show me a chapter and verse where it has to be the same every time. Don't. Man, I like mixtures. Come on, how many of y'all like fried potato soup, beans, and cornbread? Good stuff, ain't it? But I don't want it 3 times a day, 7 days a week. Preachers, now listen to me, please. Churches will take on the personality of the leadership, either good or bad, to some degree. What you see and what you hear and what you're around is primarily what you become. That's a reason why that we need a church that is alive. That, how many of you have ever been somewhere that you thought you wasn't treated just right and you don't have no desire to go back? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a church, but that is true in church too. If you go into a church and everybody just sits there, and I mean, you just went, and I mean, nobody gets up, nobody talks to each other, the singing's not exciting. I love Porter's piano play. I like that. I like something that's alive. Anything dead needs to be buried. Do you ever wonder why you bury it? After a while, it stinks. That's the reason why you bury corpses, put them in the ground, cover them up, amen. But I'm saying, listen to me, forget the things which are behind. Would y'all say amen to that? And then foresee, look down the road. I mean, get a goal, get a purpose, win somebody to the Lord, amen. Where's that, Mary? We go anymore so many times as doctors, I can't keep up. Where's that? The ladies is at the reception desk. We was just talking. I'm trying to think where we was at. And she said, Brother Sisson, she said, we'd like for you to come over here. She said, it's enjoyable. Talking about their job is just humdrum. Well, we can excite them a little bit. And I told them, I said, do you ever have fits of depression? Well, they wouldn't answer me. Sometimes or another, a dark cloud hangs over our head. Nod your head. Sometimes just a dark cloud will hang over your head. Where does that come from? I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Go down to a nursing home or go to a hospital and you won't make 3 doors and you'll say, oh God, look how blessed I am. You're right. It'll get you out of that. It'll take the cloud away. You don't have it near as bad as you think you have it. Man, I wish y'all would see that. Now let me show you something else right quick. It's found in this chapter. Not only forget, not only foresee, but look down if you would in your Bible in verse 12. Back up verse 12. Not as though that I'd already attained. Paul, hey, look here in your Bible. Paul hadn't arrived. You haven't arrived. You don't have all knowledge. Amen. He says, not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after that if I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Boy, I got to thinking. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about where would you be at tonight if God had not raised up Jordan Baptist Church? Where would you be at if you had not had a God-called preacher come into your life? Where would you be at? Notice what Paul said in verse 12. He says, not as though that I'd already attained. Some people think they have all knowledge. They think they've arrived. No, we haven't. Amen, Brother Sisson. In fact, the more I think I know, the less I really know. When I love the Bible, I love it. It's God-breathed, amen, it's the unadulterated word of God. But I study the Bible, I love studying it, but I'm talking about the more I study, I feel like how little I really know. Paul said, not as though that I'd attained. Hey, here's a man that's a proud, egotistical Pharisee, but he's saying, not as though that I've attained, I've not arrived yet. I'll tell you something I despise. Have y'all ever seen some people that have thought they're just a little bit better than everybody else? I disdain that kind of spirit. And there's people that get it. They think they're a little bit better than everybody else. I mean, clothes don't make a man. The car you drive don't make a man. He says, not as though that I'd attained. Paul, if anybody could have boasted himself, Paul would have. But he says, not as though that I've already attained. We're talking about jump starting. When you can realize and examine yourself and get rid of the stuff that you're carrying around, it's like I read this illustration. This elderly man was walking down the road with a real heavy load on his back. And it's back in the days of the horses and buggies. The man pulled up beside him and said, put your load on the wagon and I'll take you where you're going to go. So he looked back and the man was still standing up with the same load on his shoulders. And the man told him, said, put the load on the wagon. But honestly, that's what we do. We carry all this stuff on our shoulders. It weights us down. Amen. Instead of us putting it on the wagon, we just carry it ourselves. How many of you ever done this? I'm going to make you honest now. How many of you have ever been impressed to go to the altar on the burden, go to the altar, only to get up and take the same burden back?
You're right.
I guess if we'd be honest, all of us have done it.
Yeah.
All right. Why do we do that? Why do we carry these burdens? When Jesus says, come unto me, all of you that are laborers and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Notice now, I want to show you the answer. Go back and look in verse 10. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now watch. Flip over to the book of Ephesians with me. Now I want to show you this now. I want you to watch this. Look at Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 20. Ready? Chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what, Rick?
Power that worketh in
us. What? According to the power that worketh in us. How many of y'all have ever seen a 6-volt battery? A 6-volt battery won't work in a 12-volt. In fact, if you put a 6-volt in there and it's a 12-volt system, it'll say, That's what a lot of people do. They got a 6-volt battery in a 12-volt system. Where's that plug-in at? Junior, where's the plug-in? Right there. Right there's a plug-in. Y'all see this? All right, we all say, that's 120. Yeah, I know that. But somewhere there's 220 coming in this room, in this building. Back here wherever the box is at. And then somewhere there's a transformer that up on one of them real hot lines, it's what, 1,200, 1,300 volts? But that right there, you have unlimited power. What we need to do is get plugged into it.
Right.
I got to tell y'all this. This will help you. I was in Pelham, North Carolina years ago in revival meeting. And the preacher's habit was every morning, I've been there with him for years, he'd come pick me up, we'd go eat breakfast. But before we went and had breakfast, we'd go inside and pray in the building, in the auditorium. I've always been able to do a lot of things. Sometimes I think it's a curse. Over the years, I've been there and been there and been there. They got one of the most prettiest organs that you ever seen in your life in that church. I mean, beautiful, big organ, wraparound organ with all that stuff up there. He said, Brother Sisson, do you know anything about an organ? I said, no. He said, I'd give anything if that thing would, I can't get nobody to fix it. See, there's something wrong with it. Said, we got a real good organist, but said we can't fix the organ. So can't get nobody to fix it. I said, well, let's look at it. So I took the back of it off, and I looked at it, and I said, I don't have any continuity tester. So we went down to Radio Shack, bought a little old simple continuity tester. I went up there and I checked all the fuses. I seen if it was plugged in, seen if it had breaker was not tripped, it had power to that, had power to the plug in, had power going in, but no power coming out. I took that continuity tester and it had three fuses, and this one over here on the left was blowed. We went down back again to Radio Shack and spent like $2 on a box of fuses. I put a fuse in that thing and it lit up, looked like you was going to the fair. I mean, it had lights everywhere on it. Boy, when that night at the services, boy, when Elizabeth come in and the preacher told her, Brother Ken said, Miss Elizabeth said, we got the organ playing. I mean, going, you ain't never heard an organist like that in your life. I mean, a beautiful organ. I mean, she could play with a choir, play with a piano. And all that time, it sat there with a blown fuse. That's where we're at. We've got blown fuses. We just got a blown fuse. I didn't say you didn't have no power. I was saying you got a blown fuse. Well, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, then we need to do what? Foresee things. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. God can do anything.
Right.
What we need to do is get plugged into that. That God can save the hardest of a sinner.
Right.
God can change anemic lives. God can, hey, he can put homes together again. Amen. Amen. God can revive the hardest of a church. Genesis 18, 14. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Now, I wonder if y'all got blowed fuses. I wonder if your battery's saying, You're going to hit it one more time, it's going to sure enough be dead, and it'll say, tick, 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 tick. It ain't going to do nothing. A good meeting, and you know what? Let me say this. Listen to me. Look up here. You don't need to just depend on your Sunday school teacher to feed you.
Right.
You don't need just to depend on Brother Billy to feed you.
Right.
Sometimes there comes a time in your life that you need to feed yourself.
That's good.
Please listen to me tonight. Please. That's whatever God called preacher wants people to mature enough and come to a point in their life where they feed themselves spiritually. Because if they're well-rounded spiritually, that means they're homes together. Amen.
Right.
That means they're bringing their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Right. How many of y'all remember in years gone by, our moms and grandpas and grandmas and grandpas, they didn't have computers, they didn't have libraries on every corner. Most of them read a Bible by a kerosene lamp. And they're far better off than we are. I never will forget, I had a man by the name of Melvin Atwood in the first church I pastored. He couldn't read nor write his name in boxcar letters. And that's not putting him down. But his wife had, I'd got them a set of New Testament tapes. That's been that far back. And literally, he wore those tapes out listening to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He listened to the entire Bible to where you couldn't misquote it till he'd know that you misquoted it. He'd say, Brother Sisson, I don't think it says that. He'd say, well, the Sunday school teacher said it and said, I don't think it says that. And I'd flip over to him and he'd say, like, for instance, let me give you a classic example. He says, Jesus said, talking about children, said, talking about, let them come unto me. Talking about children. And he said, I don't believe it says it just exactly like that. But I'm getting you to see he was, as far as a literacy, as far as hanging degrees on the walls, or he didn't have no education. But that's no excuse for you. You got a Bible, you got libraries, you got computers. Boy, I wish we'd have a meeting tonight. I wish God would break out on our hearts. And boy, you'd say, boy, I know where there's a real good spiritual meal I can get fed. People used to have that hunger. Man, they'd walk to meetings. They wanted revival to come. Amen. Excited about it. I was telling my, we was talking about it this week. Listen to me for a moment. My wife and I went to New Guinea 2 years in a row. We're talking about a third world country. If we was going to have a service tonight at 6 o'clock, they'd be there at 2. What do you think about that? Just a sea of people. Honestly. Be sitting underneath palm trees and waving flies away off their babies. Just couldn't wait for the revival to come. You can preach and you can't even stand up. And they'll say, I mean, honestly, every night that it was that way. It's not that way here. One thing, we don't have the spiritual hunger that we used to have. And the reason why we don't have the spiritual hunger, it's called things.
Amen.
Things, that's the problem. It's snuffing it out. I want us to bow our heads and stand if you would, please. And let's pray. Come on, please.